I've already said, and Brian, we go a long way back. And I thank the Lord for this man. He's the same Brian I know all them years ago when he was just a young boy. And he's still standing for the same God. Let's hear what the Lord's sent our way tonight.
Another opportunity to be with us tonight. If you have your Bibles and want to read with us, let's look in Luke chapter number 13 tonight.
Bless
you. Very familiar scripture. Certainly do desire your prayers tonight. We certainly don't deserve them, but we sure do desire them tonight. Hope and trust that the Lord will have pity on us and help us tonight, and certainly ain't worthy of Him doing so, but I know this, I know He's faithful tonight.
Amen.
Always, always faithful. And I say this with all due respect to everybody that we've ever known in this life, but the truth is, the only one that is truly faithful, that's truly perfect, that's truly always the same and never changes, is the Lord Himself.
Amen.
That's the truth. He's the faithful one. I have known people in my life that I counted to be faithful people to the house of God and to the Lord, and that were a great influence, I guess you would say, in my life. Certainly left some wonderful, wonderful memories in my life, not memories like the world would know, but I'm talking about remembering times when the Lord passed through and used people to glorify and magnify His name, and I'm thankful for that, and I tell you, we ought to seek for that today as well.
Amen, Brian.
There ought to be some memorials in people's lives today that God put there.
Amen.
That God put there.
Amen.
You know, it's, and I believe you know me well enough to know that I believe we ought to be faithful to the church. I believe we ought to be there every time the doors is open that we're able to be. I believe that we ought to be faithful to that and
Amen.
Desiring that and longing for that and desiring to, we'd say, work for the Lord, but we're here mostly tonight to worship the Lord. That's what we gathered for, and to draw strength from the Word of God. So you just pray that He'll come down in our midst tonight and talk with us. And if He will, it'll be worth our being here tonight. And if all that you get to hear is me tonight, then it's going to be a wasted effort. So you pray that the Lord would have pity on us and help us tonight, use us His glory and His honor. So here in Luke chapter number 13, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Word of God says, there were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, Then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And that's all that we'll read tonight here in this. As we said, I know this is very, very familiar scripture to us tonight. I know that if you've been around church any length of time at all, you've heard this scripture or very similar read and preached from tonight. And so we just want to just try our best to deliver that the Lord would have us to tonight, nothing more or nothing less. And I don't expect we'll say a thing tonight that we've probably not heard before. But I know this tonight, as we said, I know that God is faithful, and I know that He's faithful to send a word that we stand in need of, that I stand in need of. I'm not exempt from it tonight. Nobody is. I tell you, friend, it doesn't matter how long or how short a time frame that we've been in church or have been saved, we're never reached the point that we are exempt of the Word of God and don't stand in need of the Word of God in our life. And as we look at this tonight, we find here down in this latter part, we'd like to, what's just been echoing in our heart is this one. He says, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. He said that in verse number 7. He said, I find none. And he didn't say, I found none, but he said, I find none. Meaning, even at this point, there is still no fruit on this tree. He said, I've been here for, he wrote it just like this, said it like this, these 3 years I come seeking fruit and I find none. And as we think about this tonight, friend, that just this question for us tonight is, would he find fruit on you? Would he find fruit on me? That's really the question. You know, I could say it was, he find fruit on you, and I could just try to make it sound like you and you alone, or try to pick out somebody that we thought maybe didn't look like they were. But a friend, this isn't for me tonight to look upon and determine, but this is God's business. This is God's vineyard tonight, friend. He's the owner of this vineyard. He's the one that planted this vineyard. We are, the Bible tells us, the planting of the Lord. And so he comes here, we find in this, and I would say this before we go much further, that, friend, he says this after he's talking about repentance. They had begun to talk about Galileans, the Bible said, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he begins to ask them questions here. He says, do you think that these people were worse sinners than others? Do you think that maybe they were worse people than others were? Do you think that they were the worst of the worst, and that's why this happened to them? But he said, I want you to understand this aspect of it. He said that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So tonight, friend, you know, a lot of times we hear about the Pharisees and this Word of God that we can read about, and how that they esteemed themselves so highly and thought that everybody else was beneath them. And I'll just say this tonight, friend, I've experienced that in my own life. I've got a flesh like everybody else does. And you know, friend, the devil loves to work in mine and your flesh. He'd love to have you and I thinking, friend, that these others are beneath us. He'd have you and I think, a friend, thinking that we're greater than what we are. The Bible warns us about thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And friend, tonight, as we look at this here now, the Lord said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. So you know what, friend? I believe repentance applies to everybody. I believe repentance is required of everybody. But what the Lord was looking at here, and what we want to look at, is he put this parable forth. He talks about coming into the vineyard and looking for fruit. And how I would say this, friend, tonight, and again, I know that no doubt we've heard a lot of this time and again, no doubt. But friends, you know what, friend? This was in a vineyard, and in that whole vineyard, there was one fig tree that was not producing fruit. Out of the whole vineyard, he says, why is this one? He said, I come to this one. He didn't say, I
this little group of trees right here. He didn't say, I come to this side of the vineyard and this whole side of the vineyard's not fruitful. He didn't say this whole row of trees is not fruitful. He didn't say this tree and the one beside it, the one in front and the one behind are not fruitful. But he said this one, and I would say this to you and I, friend, tonight. I found that to be true when the Word of God begins to pass by our life. It comes right down to singular. It always does. It comes right down to where it deals with us on an individual basis. And he said, here I have come to this tree and I have found no fruit on it these 3 years. I find none. And we'll try to be as brief as we can tonight. But friend, he said, I have come to this, and you know what I read in that, what I see in that? I see that he's saying, I've come again and again and again, and I've been patient. I've been understanding, if you'd have it. I've been lenient with this. I didn't destroy it the first year. I wasn't so much, I don't believe that he wasn't concerned the first year. But you know what, friend? I see the long suffering of God in that. And he says, I've come by. This is the third year that I've come. And he said, I find no fruit even now. So he said, let's cut it down. Why let it come from the ground? But you know what the keeper of the vineyard said, the dresser? He said this, here's the mercy of God in my life, especially in my life tonight. You know what he says? He said, let me dig about it this one more time. Let me dung about it again this year. And then if it doesn't bring forth fruit, thou shalt cut it down. Now, friend, that is a finality there. That is a certain, that is a definite statement. He said, after this, if it doesn't bring forth fruit, thou shalt cut it down.
Amen.
So he said, let me dig about it and let me dung about it. Now, friend, again, this is in the same vineyard that all the other fruit trees are in. It's right there amongst all them others. And he does not, and I believe the Lord is very accurate in what he says. I don't believe that there's another tree in this vineyard that he's talking about that wasn't being fruitful. He didn't say this is one of several. He didn't say this is one of many. He didn't say this is one of a few. He said this very one is not producing. For 3 years there has been nothing on this tree, no fruit. But he did not say it looks dead. He did not say that it ain't been taken. Listen, friend, I believe this tree was pruned. You know what, friend? I don't know a whole lot about a vineyard and about taking care of things like that, but I do know this. They have to be pruned. And every time I've ever went into an orchard, you know what I'd see? You could tell this, friend. You could tell that the same person owned that whole vineyard, because the trimmings and the pruning were the same on every one. They may not be exactly alike, but they're pruned the same. They're shaped the same. They're cared for the same. They're looked after the very same. Every single one of them, friend, had the touch, had the appearance, had the evidence of the hand of the master on them. The pruning's been going on. There's trees there. There's life in them because they're putting forth leaves. But there's no fruit. But there's no fruit. Friend, I tell you, there needs to first be life. There needs to be evidence of growth. But you know what, friend? Eventually, there needs to be some fruit.
Right.
And you know what? By what we read right here in these very few verses, you know what we find out? It's required that it brings forth fruit.
Yeah.
Now, it ain't required that it brings forth fruit. Yes, it's required that it brings forth fruit.
Yeah.
He said, I've come for 3 years. It's had none. Why let it come from the ground? Cut it down.
Yeah.
Fruit is required. Now you think about this, friend. That fruit is not for the tree. No, it's for others to partake of. But there has to be life in the tree before it can bear fruit. It has to be trimmed and it has to be cared for and it has to be pruned and it has to be taken care of correctly for there to be fruit. But the fruit is
is not for the tree itself. No, it's for the glory of the owner of the vineyard. And it's for others that they might partake of. I have never owned an orchard in all my life. I've never owned a vineyard, but I have picked many an apple. I have picked peaches. I went and picked strawberries. I went and picked blackberries and huckleberries and all manner of things like that. But you know what, friend? Not none of that was ever any effort on my part. I just went and reaped the benefits of most of the time. So it's not just most of the time, but all the time, it's the benefits of God. You say, well, if you went and picked out of somebody's orchard, somebody planted them trees, took care of them until they got up, full growth, cut them, and done all that. I know that. But you know what, friend? That life came from God Himself. Even that natural life came from God Himself. No man ever invented an apple seed. No man ever invented any kind of peach seed or anything. God did that from the very creation. And you know what? Man has only been able to reap the benefits of what God provided to begin with. But friend, tonight again, it is required of every tree to bring forth fruit. So is there fruit in our life? Is there fruit on our life? Now again, I don't read where he said, I've come 3 years, I've not seen any fruit. Prune that tree. I don't read where he said, take and spray that tree. I don't read where he said, well, take and cut half the limbs off the tree. I don't read where he said, hang little ornaments in the tree to look like fruit. But he said, let's cut it down. And the dresser said, no, let me dig about it and let me dung about it. So I will say this to us, friend, tonight. It wasn't the outer part where the problem lay.
Amen.
Like I said, I believe it's been pruned just like
yeah.
any other.
Yeah.
I can come to church. I can live, friend, under. Now you just bear witness in this. But I can live under the leadership and the guidance of the church. I can lay aside the things that the church says I need to lay aside. I can lay aside when the Sunday school teacher gets up and says, these things don't need to be in my life. These things don't need to be in your life. I can say, all right, I'll cut them things out of my life. Those will be gone. I can say, I need to be I need sunshine. I need the love of God. I can come to the church and I can experience the love of the people. But where the problem lay at, and where the remedy's at, we got to get down to the heart of it.
Yeah.
He said, he didn't say, I'm going to trim it. He didn't say, I'm going to cut it. He didn't say, I'm going to skin the bark off of it to shock that tree. I've heard people talk about going out in the garden. Friends, you know why? You'd break them suckers out of the mater plants. So it ain't just growing up to be a big old bushy plant with no fruit on it. That's the reason why you do that. You know what I've heard people talk about going out and when their okra was put forth, I've heard them say, you know what, take you a good little pine brush or something like that, whip the far out of that thing, thrash that a little bit, and it'll put forth. Mom, years ago, had a rose bush out in the yard. You know what I'd do? I'd go over there every time them blooms would start getting out there pretty good. I was going over there and cutting them off. She's talking later on in here how that thing just kept producing blooms. It kept producing blooms. You know why? Because there was a desire, if you had it, within that rose bush to replenish itself. It was trying to put forth so that it would grow more. And I was cutting it off. And the more I cut it off, the more it tried to grow. But friend, I'll tell you this. We don't need to resist the prunings of God. Did he not read it to us just a little while ago about despise not the correction of God? You know why he does that? So we bring forth more fruit. He said, every branch that bring forth fruit, I'll purge it so it'll bring forth more fruit. But you know what we hear? You know what we may not hear it said verbally, but you know what the ideal is in our church land today? That the older you get, the less fruit you have to produce. You just get to that point that you become an ornamental plant. I
tell you right now, I ain't interested in ornamental plants. I don't mean any disrespect to anybody. If you want to do that in, on your place and in your yard, that's fine. But I'll tell you this, you can pass by my house, the only thing you'll find out in the yard where I have to mow, besides grass and the junk that grows in there with it, the only thing I have put out there that I'll have to mow around are some blueberry bushes. You know what I expect? Fruit off of them. I ain't going to spend my time. Again, I've got nothing against that. That's your business. I think it looks nice too, seeing yards with flowers and all this kind of thing in there, and it makes it all look pretty. But you know what? I say to folks, that's a lot of work for no real result. You can get pleasure out seeing it. That's fine. If you enjoy that, that's perfectly fine. But we're not talking about our natural yard. We're talking about the church of the living God.
Right.
We're talking about the place where that sinners come by once in a while. We're talking about lives,
Amen. Individual
lives that sinners pass by who needs to find fruit on mine in your life. That they taste of that. You know what they say? That's the best fruit I've ever eaten.
Amen.
I've heard people say this. Them are the best apples off of that tree that I've ever had in my life. They say I've had apples all over the land. I bought them in the store. I bought them from one country or another. I bought them that's come from China. I bought them that's come from Europe or wherever, but I tell you, there ain't none like that one tree right over there. I tell you, friend, that ought to be how they feel about us.
Right. That's right.
Now, I'm going to say this. I ain't meaning that everybody in the world's going to love us. I don't mean that. I tell you, friend, the world loves its own, the Bible says. And I'll say this, they that live godly, he said, shall suffer persecution. But I'll tell you this, friend, there ought to come a time in their life that they'd be hungry enough, friend, that God would stir a hunger in their soul and you'd have a tree right there that they could eat of.
Amen.
I tell you what, friend, they've got all kinds of a world to partake of.
Yeah.
They got all kinds of things in the world to partake of. But he said, this tree is bearing no fruit. None. He didn't say it ain't got much. He didn't say it's got some of the naughtiest apples, the oddest shaped apples. He said there is none on this.
Yeah.
And his word was to cut it down. But I tell you, friend, he heard the words of the dresser of the vineyard say this. Let me dig about it. Let me dung about it. Again, friend, we're not going to cut the little outskirting limbs off. We're not going to cut what we call them water saps, them suckers off of there. We're not going to cut this off. That's not the problem. The problem is there's nothing getting in there to produce fruit. This barely got enough life about it to produce some leaves and show that it ain't dead. But you know what he's warning? Again, fruit. Fruit. He said, let me dig about it. You know what we got to do? We got to get below the surface.
Yeah.
Friend, this surface ain't where the problem's lying at. It's down in here. We think it's the surface all the time. People begin to talk about getting closer to God, being better Christians. What we first start thinking, oh, I'm going to have to quit going here and let's quit going there. If them kind of places are there, absolutely, they don't need to be there. But you know what, friend? If there's going to be any fruit, it's going to have to get past the surface and get down there where it's coming from within.
Amen.
The Word of God's going to have to be able to be absorbed into our heart. Into our heart tonight. Friend, that's the only way. And you say, what's he going to dig about and dung about? I tell you, friend, he's going to dig about our heart. He's going to dig about this outside, get this outside hard-hearted, this hard surface, friend, that's keeping us from being fruitful. You know what? The same rain that softens the ground can also pound it in the hardness. The same sun that warms them trees and causes the sap to begin to rise is the same sun that can burn that up if there is no life being produced from within.
Right.
That same tree that here in just a few days will be putting forth little greenery and starting to put out its leaves. Spring comes summertime without rain and the heat of the day of the sun beating down upon that. You know what, friend, it'll do? That same tree that was green will turn brown if it goes long enough without anything coming up through that root system. You know what's going to happen? It's going to die. You know what, friend? Again, here's the mercy and the love of God. You know what's about to happen to this tree? The reason it's not being fruitful is there's something wrong with the tree. And if it doesn't get corrected, it's going to die. It's going to die. The fact that there's no fruit is an indication of there's a problem. There's a problem. So what are you talking about fruit? Are you talking about having a testimony? Are you talking about having a song? Are you talking about a shout? Are you talking about a testimony to others that are lost? I tell you, friend, there are people today that are lost who stand in churches and sing songs. There are people who stand in churches and testify of the saving grace of God. There are people who are lost who witness to other lost folks all the time. There are lost men that climb into these pulpits and give out sermons. And you know what they do? Those sermons that they give out do nothing to get to the heart. And they're all about the exterior. They're all about the ornamental. They're all about the looking good to the natural eye. But I tell you, friend, if it's ever going to get to the place that it's going to start bringing forth fruit in mine and your life, it's going to take the Spirit of God digging down into our life and implanting and putting in and infusing and injecting the Word of God and the power of God and the Word and the Spirit. And friend, that begins to bring forth fruit in mine and your life. When he speaks about the fruit, what does he speak of? Does he not speak of the fruit of the Spirit? You know what that means, friend? It's going to mean that that means that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, here's the problem, friend. There are many. You know what, friend? There are all kinds of things being done today in the name of God and in the name of Christ and in the name of the church that are not bringing forth fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
And I will say this, friend, again, that's exactly what God is looking for. That's what He's working after. I tell you this, friend, there is not a vineyard on the face of this earth, an orchard, a vineyard, whatever you want to refer to, that there has not been a lot of work went into it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you this, friend, it ain't mine and your works. Oh no, it's the works of God. It's the works of the Spirit. It's the work of God in our life, on our life, through our life. Has He found fruit on you? Has He found fruit on me? Has He found fruit on me? That's the question. Now, you know, friend, every fruit tree I've ever seen has fruit on it once a year. Once a year. But now, listen, you say, so that means we really only have to be fruitful once a year. Even that, even simple-minded like a fellow like me, that'd be my cop-out. There's only got to be fruit in my life once a year.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem with that, friend. It's amazing. We like to take that day, 1,000 years as one day, and one day as 1,000 years with the Lord and apply it when we want to, and remove it when we don't want it applying. I'll tell you, friend, I would say this. I'd say that every day that you and I awake in this life, there ought to be fruit in our life. say this too. There are going to be times, friend, that He's going to be pruning on us. There's going to be times that He's going to be working on us. There's going to be times, friend, that there is no fruit on our life. You know what I've read? Trying to figure out how to take care of a tree. You know what I've read? When it first comes up, when you first get that thing planted, you don't want it having fruit the first year. As it starts to grow on up, it starts to form itself. It starts making all its little branches. You know what you do? You cut some of them off. Because some of them aren't going to be fruit bearing. They're actually going to be things that would rob the tree and keep it from doing so. Friend, there will be times in our life when God has to do some pruning. But He said that, as we said already. He said, when it brings forth fruit, I'm going to purge it. Then it will bring forth more fruit. I've seen people go out and take what I thought was the best looking, best producing grapevine that I'd ever seen in my life. And I've seen them get a hold of that, and you'd think they have destroyed that thing. They've ruined it. But you know what He's done? You know what they've done? They went, and where that thing was all growing out and producing, what it's really doing, it's putting itself in a place that it could become weakened and break. You know what He does? He cuts it back so that it will become stronger at the base, at the heart. I tell you, friend, we need, the Word of God teaches you and I to be what? Established. Established, be rooted and grounded, not blown about with every wind and doctrine. You know what, friend? I can get up here and hammer on every doctrine in the world except the doctrine that I agree with, and that's not going to do you any good. Let's get to the heart of it. Let's get to the true Word of God. And you know what it'll do? It'll get rid of the rest of that. It'll take care of the rest of that. Instead of worrying about what's going on out there somewhere else, let's worry about right in here. Let's worry about right in here. Let's worry about the Spirit of God working right in the depths of our church as a collective group. And that's going to have to take place by it taking effect in me. Individual.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. God help you.
Don't make no difference if He was to. Don't make no difference how much Dean would brag on this fellow standing right here. Right. Hang all the pretty little ornaments on this fellow that you could possibly put on a fellow. I'm going to tell you, friend, if there ain't no fruit, God says, I'll cut it down.
That's right.
If there's no fruit being produced, there's no use in it cumbering the ground.
No.
So you can hang ornaments on it. Big deal.
Right.
I can't need ornaments. You can put lights, the strings of lights, and plug them up and make it look like the prettiest one up there in the whole area. Big deal. You can't eat of that.
No.
Friends, that's of no value. What has to be in mine and your life is fruit that others can eat of.
That's right.
And that, friend, that don't just apply for lost folks. Do you know, friend, what a great encouragement, you know what a great strength it is to come down to the house of God and the fella sitting behind you, or the fella over from you, or the woman down on the corner over there, a friend, some fruit of the Spirit in their life that we can eat of. You know what that does? That makes us hunger after that. And you know what it'll do? It'll cause us to start wanting to and producing.
Amen.
You know what that fruit is for? That life can go on. Now, there's folks in here that's way smarter than I am. Probably everybody in the house is. But you know what, friend? I've seen young trees with a little bit of fruit. And I've seen old trees. Old trees that have been taken care of wisely that still produce fruit. That's the great thing about it. When it gets put in the vineyard and gets established, gets put in that good ground, and is taken care of by the master, by the owner, by the dresser, you know what? Can continue to produce and produce and produce. Well, after a while, you have to dig it up. Why would I dig up one that's producing? Why would I give? You think I'm going to throw, you think I'm going to go over and start cutting down and uprooting trees that are producing to plant another one? Why would I do that when this is already there, established, and has the ability to produce much fruit? That's what the Lord's looking for.
That's it.
Much fruit.
Yeah.
Much fruit.
Well, I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it ought to be required. I believe we ought to be able to decide for ourselves how fruitful we want to be. Well, here's the problem with that. You're not your own.
That's right.
You didn't even grow up on your own. You didn't get planted on your own. The fact of the matter is, friend, honestly, we could say it like this. This might be tough to swallow, but we really don't have much to say in the matter, if any at all. We're not our own. We're bought with a price.
Amen.
I want to grow big and tall.
Let me ask you this. When you go to the orchards and the vineyards, how many really tall ones? If you see a tall apple tree, you know what that is? That's one that was never really taken care of. That's one that was allowed to. Let me ask you this. What good does it do for there to be apples up there 20, 30 feet up in the air? Right within reach. I'll say this, I try not to deal with carnal matters and natural things very much, but I have in the last few years, a fellow has come to work there where we're at now. His family owns an orchard. I ain't making light of him. He's not a very tall man in stature. You know what he tells us out there? Told me one day, he said, it's time for him to go through their pruning. I'm going to ask this question because I have no idea. I said, how much do you cut off? Don't you let them get real big and tall? He says, you know what I tell the guys that's doing it? He said, them fellows that's pruning it are the ones also, a lot of times, it's going to be picking apples after a while. He says this, he says, if you can't reach it, cut it off. So what good does it do for me to want to appear to be this high and mighty individual down at the church house behind one of the greatest that God's got? Look, I tower above everybody else. Look at all the fruit. Why, my fruit reaches to the sky. What good is that? You know what happens to it? It rots. You look at them trees that start growing big and tall like that. You know what happens to the apples? They start getting naughty. They start getting gnarly. They, and the majority of them, friend, rot before they ever get ripe. Wow, look how much fruit's on my life. Yeah, well, how much are people able to harvest of that and eat it?
Right.
That's the real question.
Amen, brother.
That's the real question.
Yeah.
I can tell you, friend, I can present myself to be the best tree in the vineyard. But if nobody can eat fruit off of this, you know what? I read where he talks about he planted a choice vine.
Yeah.
Look for it to bring forth grapes. And he said what he said wild. It brought forth? Wild grapes.
Yeah.
Wild grapes. What good does all the fruit on our life do if it ain't fit to be
eaten?
You know what's going to have to happen in order for it to be fit to be eaten? The wise dresser of the vineyard is going to have to be allowed to go to digging and the dunging and working in our life. It may take some severe pruning to start with. But I tell you, friend, if it's going to ever produce, that ground around that's going to have to be broken up. Oh, well, once them roots get down in there, it's everything's good after that. Really. So how come he's telling him he's going to dig about it? How come he said, I'm going to dig about it, and then I'm going to dung about it? Oh, friend, there's got to be some nutrients put in there. There's going to have to be some real sound doctrine. True Word of God. True love of the Spirit digging down in there, breaking. You know, here's the thing, too. It takes a wise dresser to dig around that. Because you know what can happen when you go to digging? You may cut the roots.
Right.
You may do more damage. You know what's happened to a lot of folks? It's caused a lot. You know, I didn't think about this, but you know what's caused a lot of folks to become unfruitful? Caused people who didn't know what they're doing,
amen,
digging about their lives,
amen,
and trying to improve them.
Amen, Brian.
I'm telling you right now, friend, you and I need to forget about trying to dig about other people and improve,
amen,
other people. We need to just be focused on letting the Lord dig about our lives.
Yeah.
God, is everything right? Is everything producing right in my life?
Yeah.
You know what David said? Search me, O God.
Yeah.
See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way that is right. God, get down there. Let there be things that I'm pulling up from the ground that's contaminated. You know what's happened to a lot of orchards? The groundwater got contaminated,
yeah,
by somewhere else. You know what it did? It ended up killing what was there.
Right.
Be careful. I love you, Dean, but you be careful. What? Don't you pour out anything.
Amen. Amen.
I tell you what, anything the Lord pours out, any digging that the Lord does about it, any dunging about it that the Lord does around it, will bring forth fruit. I tell you, friend, my pouring out, my digging about, my thoughts about what I need to put in that ground, you know what? It ain't going to help matters at all. So, friend, is there any fruit in my life? Is he finding any fruit in me? How long's it been since he came by and found fruit on me? You say, well, again, we read it right there. We got a whole year to worry about whether or not we produce fruit. Oh no, friend, I read where he come by one day. I hadn't thought about this at all, but I read in the Word of God, friend, where he come by a fig tree one day. The Bible said it wasn't the time of figs. He came looking for them. And when there were none, he cursed it.
Yeah.
And the Bible said immediately it withered away. And they marveled at how quickly that it did. You know what, friend? All it takes is one word from the Master, and we're done for. We're done for. Well, I don't believe that's the loving God that we've got. Well, again, friend, he said, I will dig about it. Let me dig about it, and let me dung about it. Let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down.
Yeah.
I tell you, friend, it'd sure be a terrible thing to spend the rest of your day sitting on a church pew, unfruitful.
Yes.
Oh, I'll write up my own obituary. They'll have in the paper there, it'll be in there, that I was a member down there for 30 years. I was there for 40 years. I was there for 50 years. I was there from the time it was founded till this present day, till the day I died. Well, that's only for a man's eyes to look upon. Did God see any fruit? Did God ever gather any fruit of that? Was there anybody else? And I know we may not want to think about it that way, but I tell you, friend, was there anybody else ever benefited from my being there? Was anybody ever benefited by my being at the church house? Was I ever a help to somebody? Was I ever a help and an influence on anybody's life? Was there anybody ever one time to look at my life and say, my, look how beautiful that fruit is? I've seen some of them. I've seen some of the prettiest fruit that you could ever see. I've seen some that look so pretty on the outside, and when you cut into it, oh, it's bad inside. It's an odd sometimes of things that will just stay in your mind and other things that you can't seem to retain. But when I was just a little bitty boy, I sat at school one day and I listened to this fella. He's talking about he had traveled somewhere. I don't remember where all that was at. Out of all he talked about that day, there's one thing that stuck in my mind and it's still there today. He got off this plane in some remote place. They had this little old, like what we call sidewalk markets or whatever they want to throw up in town now. All it was a little old tent place over there, a little old stand over there. Had some different things. He seen some apples laying there, what's that up over there. He said, I went on by, I passed it up. So I got over there sitting waiting until we was going to move over. And he said, I kept thinking about this one apple that I've seen over there in that pine. And he said, the more I thought about it, the more I thought about it, and the more I think about it. He said, I finally just went over there and I got it. He said, I bought that apple. I bit into that thing. And he said, I was chewing it up, taking a swallow. And he said, when I looked back to get another bite, he said, that was a part of a worm wiggling. Now, I hope that ain't the only thing that you walk out of here with tonight. That's why I hesitate to mention carnal things. Because I tell you, friend, out of some of the best messages I've heard in my life, I've heard people walk out remembering the carnal things that they mentioned. But I tell you, friend, don't matter how good we look to the outside, when they get down to the heart and they find a worm in there, friend, it don't matter how good it looked on the outside. I guarantee you that fella didn't say, well, I'll eat over here on the other side. Oh no, friend. That's it. Friend, don't let them. I ain't trying to be funny. I tell you, friend, don't let them find a worm in us. Don't let them get over there in amongst all that pretty foliage and that heavy greenery and all them leaves. Come over there and get up in there and then go to looking and find little old bitty, hard, worthless fruit that can't be enjoyed.
It's there for the enjoyment and the benefit of others.
Yeah.
God help us to be fruitful. I tell you, friend, I wish I could stand here tonight and tell you that there ain't never been a time that the Lord found me fruitless. But I don't want it to happen again.
No.
I don't want that to be the statement of my life. You know what? We have no record. Now, I know he was putting forth a parable here. The Bible plainly says he put forth a parable. Wouldn't you like to know what happened to that one tree? Wouldn't you like to know? You say, well, we can't never know. Oh, yes, you can. It's you. It's me. So when you read that, and that's that one tree, say, that's me. What's the outcome going to be? He said he's going to be faithful and dig about it and dumb about it. What's going to be the outcome?
Amen. I appreciate it.